U.S. Navy patrol in the South China Sea guaranteed to upset China. American officials say a warship sailed close to Mischief Reef on Wednesday, one of a string of disputed man-made islands claimed by Beijing. Washington's Freedom of Navigation patrols in the area are nothing new, but this is the first U.S. challenge to Beijing in the South China Sea under Donald Trump, who's been promoting his newfound friendship with Chinese leader Xi Jinping since the two met in Florida in April.
What do you make of the downgrade, and what do you think China's prospects are?
So China, the question is really how long can they keep it going? And I think ultimately there will be a day of reckoning, and I know that. I just can't tell you if it's 2 months, 2 years, or 20 years.
In other words, you don't have a view on the timing.
Correct.
This new score means that the House does not have to go back and pass this contentious health care bill another time. At the same time, the fact that 23 million people who will not have health insurance under this bill, according to the CBO, means Democrats also see something that they can use in this report. So something in this report for everyone.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's May 25th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad to have you here for our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Later in the program, we're going to be talking a little bit about the big holiday weekend coming up. Travel, lots of folks will be hitting the roads. Beth Mosier will be here from the AAA Chicago Motor Clubs. We'll talk a little bit about the number of people that are expected to hit the roads and some safety tips that you can take if you're going to be out and about for the Memorial Day weekend. We'll have our thought leader coming in just a moment. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, stock market futures in this country looking for a positive open later when the opening bell rings on Wall Street. Dow Jones futures are up 76 points, NASDAQ up 19, S&P futures are up 7.5. So it looks like a pretty strong opening later on Wall Street. In around the globe this morning, generally Asian shares climbed this morning after Wall Street advanced overnight into record territory, spurred on by the latest meeting minutes. Say that five times real fast from the Federal Reserve. According to the minutes released yesterday, Federal Reserve signaling they were soon ready to raise interest rates again. And there is lots of discussion by some Fed leaders, including the Philadelphia Fed president yesterday, that June will be a live meeting, that it'll possibly be a rate increase coming at the June meeting. Other markets that we'll see for you this morning, first rounding out Asia, the Nikkei up 70 points, the Hang Seng up 202, the Shanghai up 43 points in Europe this morning. Generally higher numbers. The FTSE's up about 6. The DAX and the CAC are up about 16 and 11 points, respectively. Back in this country, oil futures are trading lower, almost 1% lower at $50.90 a barrel. The architect of the House legislation that would repeal much of the Dodd-Frank law enacted after the financial crisis has agreed to make a key change to the bill, clearing the way for the full House to take up the measure in the coming weeks. The provision in question would have removed a cap on fees that stores pay large banks when customers use their debit cards. Also yesterday, word from the White House that delay on the fiduciary rule that would have financial advisors acting in your best interest has been delayed. There had been some talk that that would have been possibly pushed off in the new Trump administration. That's what we're going to talk about with Doug Myers today from Associated Bank in our thought leader conversation this morning. Doug is with us here on Thursday. We do our thought leader every Thursday. Doug, good morning, and welcome to the opening bell.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here. Good morning to you.
A little bit of developing news over the last 24 hours or so. It looks like the Trump administration, at least for now, is going to allow this fiduciary rule to continue, an Obama-era rule that put stricter requirements on professionals who advise retirement savers on their investments. We talked about that in the past. Your thoughts on this?
We have, and this is somewhat of a surprise. You know, we've been working since last fall on this to implement it by April 10th. And then we thought when Trump was elected, it was rumored to be sidelined for a while. And I guess it was announced yesterday that they're going to move forward. And now the new deadline is going to be June 9th. And so this dramatically changes the way a lot of brokers have to do business with their clients' IRAs and 401k accounts. So it's very significant. A lot of the brokerage houses and investment firms, even such as our investment group, it's radically changing the way we do business with our clients. And I think it's a good thing. I think that it puts the best interest of the clients first. It forces brokers to be advising in a fiduciary capacity, and that's changing the way brokers think and act, I think.
This is going to be the focus of our conversation today because it is one of the bigger decisions that people make is when they bring somebody on to handle their money and talk about money. Wouldn't you agree this is probably right up there?
Absolutely. And, you know, heretofore, the brokers have been commission-based. And I think now when you have to act as a fiduciary in a fiduciary capacity with your client, you're going to be more concerned about what's best for them and less about what you're going to make on a commission if you sell a product to an individual. So it really changes the focus of investment counseling.
I thought we would go through some of the things that people should do if they're getting ready to go into one of these relationships. What is the first and most important thing you would tell people?
Well, there's several, but I think one of the things you can start out at is how are you going to be paid, Mr. Broker? Are you going to make a commission? Are you going to make a flat fee? Are there fees embedded in the products that you're selling me that I might not know about? These could be referral fees. It could be what we call 12B fees. It could be proprietary fees. There's a lot of embedded fees in some of these mutual funds if you go into a 401k, for example. And brokers are now going to have to disclose these fees and say, you know, we might not be able to make a commission anymore, but this is the best product for you based on your financial posture. And we're going to maybe have less of a fee, maybe charge a flat fee and less commission based. And I know our brokerage company has been, like I said, preparing for this since last fall. And we've been spending hours and hours on compensation plans, on new regulations, on new rules that we do business with our clients.
This is in addition to this being a big decision, there's a lot of information to digest here for a consumer getting into one of these relationships. It's not like putting in plumbing, is it? It's sort of a little bit more complicated than that, isn't it?
It's very complicated. I think the ruling was 128 pages. One of our compliance officers sits next to me, and he's been working on this literally every day since last fall. As I said, it's a little bit surprising today when we woke up and saw the news because we all thought that this was going to be delayed, if not postponed, permanently. But apparently it's going to go through. I think there's going to be some amendments to it, and there's going to be obviously some changes under the Trump administration. But I think we still have to be prepared to implement this rule, obviously, by the June 9th new deadline.
Mm-hmm. Some say that this relationship, that one of the things you have to remember is not only is someone managing their money, they're in some cases trying to sell you a service too, aren't they?
Well, that's true. And there's a fine line between, as you said, selling you a service and doing what's best and right for the client based on his financial posture, his risk tolerance, and his station in life. You know, you're going to invest differently for a 27-year-old versus a 55-year-old. You know, there's different risk tolerances. There's different timing issues on how long you have to invest in the market based on how long you're going to be working versus how long you're going to be into retirement.
Let's go through some of the red flags that might pop up. Number one, a financial advisor talks more than they can listen, or more than they listen.
Well, that's a good one. You know, when we sit down with a client, we want to ask questions. We want to listen. We have to find out where he is, where his risk tolerance is, what his needs are, what his family situation is. You want to know all these things going into a relationship like that and not just be able to enter into it by selling product.
Another one is they always promise that they will beat the market.
Well, that's a big no-no in the rules of investment management. You can't promise anything. You have to be very careful about what you say about certain investments. You know, you want to beat the benchmarks, but you can't guarantee anything because nobody has a crystal ball and nobody can guarantee what's going to happen in the world as to what's going to how it's going to affect investments.
Another one is feeling pressure to buy. This shouldn't be like a car salesman, car buyer relationship, should it?
Well, I think those days are going to be long gone, and I think that's one of the reasons why this ruling went into effect. There are high-pressured sales. I think people need to step back and really analyze what's best for them, especially in something as important as investment management.
How important is it, too, that in addition to them listening to you, that they don't make decisions that you're not aware of? You have to have sort of a role in all of the decisions being
made. Well, you
made.
Do, and you have to have a complete picture. You know, one of the challenges we have in investment management is understanding a person's whole financial picture. You might have a piece of someone's wallet share, as we like to say, meaning you might handle a portion of their investments, but not all of their investments. And it's important to know how your investments are going to work in concert or in varying degrees with other investments you might have. And so it's important to be diversified. It's important to have different amounts in different sectors. And that means small cap stocks, large cap stocks, international stocks. So there's a lot of different strategies you can go into an investment management relationship. And you want to make sure you know the whole picture and not just maybe the picture that you're looking at. Does that make sense?
It does. Another red flag, too, would be that they put you with the youngest person in the firm, the most junior person on the list.
Well, you know, I can't address that. I know in our firm we have very experienced professionals. We typically, in a bank like Associated, we don't have junior people. We tend to hire more tenured and experienced people in the financial business. But I think that's a very important aspect to look at.
One of the other things, and we've talked about this before, it's sort of that personal relationship, too. I mean, if I were to come and sit down with you, immediately I would feel comfortable. That's the other thing, too. The person has to feel comfortable, feel that personal relationship. You have to give that back.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think that when you're sitting down and interviewing a financial advisor, you do have to have a comfort level. And you have to feel comfortable with his or her experience level. And you have to understand his or her strategies. And that's very important. And experience plays into it. How many cycles you've gone through in the market is important. You know, a junior person necessarily hasn't gone through different ups and downs in the market, and there will be ups and downs in every cycle. And so I think experience plays into that way.
One of the other red flags that jumped off the screen at me was the push to manage your old 401k. A lot of us have these company-managed 401ks. Should that even be on the table when you go see a financial advisor?
I think it should, and that goes back to the whole financial picture. And, you know, when you leave a company, you have the opportunity to either leave it in the company if you're happy with their investment management strategy and their choices of funds, or you can move it into a rollover IRA or move it to the new company's 401k as well. And so you have a lot of different options to keep that 401k intact. And you do want to sit down and make sure that it's performing like you thought it would be performing, and it's working in concert with the other investment accounts you may have outside of the 401k or within the 401k.
That's the big part of this. Most people just sort of put these 401ks in action and then forget about them, don't they?
They do, and sometimes that's not a bad thing if you're allocated the way you need to be, mm-hmm. and you just sit and watch it grow. Other times you might want to tweak it on an annual basis. You might want to rebalance the account. So there's different ways to do that, but you know, you're hopefully putting money into it every pay period, whether it's monthly or every 2 weeks, and you do want to set a strategy, let it work, and just contribute the money out of your paycheck every pay period, and it will grow over time.
Another topic I thought we'd hit today, and this we talked about this when we were looking at trends for this coming year, private banking as an export industry. I'm still kind of scratching my head about this one. I don't understand exactly how it works. So maybe you could tell us, how is it an export industry?
Well, I think a lot of the private bankers throughout the world act differently. Some act like investment counselors. Some are experts in credit and banking products. And so I think the gist of what I've read about that is how the different private bankers act within different firms. And that can be very different industry-wide. And so, you know, you talk about the Swiss private banker mm-hmm. who manages, you know, millions of dollars for clients and they want to be in secret Swiss bank accounts. You know, we're not really that way in this country. Private bankers are more dedicated to, I think, credit needs of individuals. So, you know, that's a hard question because the definition varies not only from institution from institution, but countries to country.
And it's one of those also one of those topics, too, that sort of has that shadow on it of something nefarious. So you mentioned the Swiss banking account. Whenever I hear the phrase Swiss banking account, I always think of something negative, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It probably isn't, right?
Well, it's both, and I agree with you, but at the same time, there's very reputable firms across the pond, so to speak, and I think that, yes, there's plenty of good firms that are very reputable.
So as we look ahead here to the next month or so, anything on your radar screen that we haven't talked about today that you want to bring up?
Nothing. I think the trend is continued rate increases. We're anticipating 2 or 3 the rest of this year. Whether that happens or not, we've been surprised in the past, but I think we're seeing a definite trend for rate increases. I think that's going to happen a couple more times this year, and I think that'll be good for the economy. I think it'll be good for the markets. The markets continue to be up. The markets continue to be optimistic about things. And so let's knock on wood and hope for the best.
You know, the markets seem to be ignoring all of the political chatter, right, and just doing what they do.
Well, they do. And I think the market builds in optimism. And, you know, the markets we see are kind of a lagging indicator on what the public feels like is going to happen in the future in terms of economic the headwinds or the tailwinds.
You mentioned the Fed. One of the Fed presidents was out yesterday talking, the Philadelphia Fed president. He said those folks who are betting against a rate increase in June probably making the wrong bet. So that's
a telling comment,
right,
isn't it?
Yes. Can't get any more clear than that.
Right, exactly.
Doug, it's good seeing you as always. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Doug Myers is Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page, and you can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. Our Thought Leader Conversation every Thursday.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:42 on our Thursday edition of the opening bell. Ahead of the long Memorial Day weekend, the AAA Chicago Motor Club is reporting 39.3 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more away from home during the long weekend. That's about a million more travelers than last year. Still, it's one of the highest Memorial Day travel volumes since 2005. Joining us this morning is the Director of Public Relations, Beth Mosier at AAA. Beth, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I think everybody's getting really excited about Memorial Day. It's always the big first holiday weekend of the summer. Lots of people are going to be on the roads, though. What can you tell us?
Yes, lots of people on the roads, but lots of people in the airports as well. In Illinois, we're expecting to see almost 2 million people traveling. The majority of those, 1.8 million, are going to be traveling on our roadways, but still about 100,000 people taking to the skies just from Illinois alone.
What is the impetus, do you think, for the increasing number of travelers this year? Is it more money in the pocket? What do you think is fueling this?
It is more money in the pocket, and you said it exactly, not to use a pun, but gas prices really are fueling this. And even though gas prices have crept up just a little bit lately, over the past couple of years or so, gas prices have been very, very low. And for families, they're saving that money. They're feeling more secure in their job situation, and they're spending that disposable money that they have on travel.
The average gas price is, what, $2.34 a gallon. I can remember Memorial Day's, Beth, and I bet you can too, where it was up near $4.
Absolutely, and those days for right now are long gone, and we're going to have another mild summer as far as gas prices are concerned, which should, again, lead to more travel throughout the summer.
Well, as people get ready to take to the roads and to the skies, let's talk first about the roads. What's the first piece of safety advice you can offer them, Beth?
You know, we're going to come to the rescue of 330,000 people this Memorial Day weekend alone. So if you're taking a car that has a battery that is about 3 years or older, make sure you get that battery tested before you go, because that is the number one reason we are going to be out there visiting people this weekend. Also, make sure your tire pressure is where they should be. That's the best advice that I can give you. And then for people who are traveling on the roadways, buckle up, make sure your family members are buckled up, and the driver needs to focus on the task at hand, which is driving, not the cell phone.
Yeah, and that's the big part of that. Distracted driving is it's the new drunk driving, isn't it, on the roads?
Yeah, well, not that drunk driving has gone away, but particularly this weekend, but yes, it has become very, very problematic.
Talk to us a little bit about the airport part of this. It's always pretty good advice if you're going to an airport and planning to travel, especially with your family, just be extra patient. Bring all the patience, right?
Yeah, we always say pack your patience with you, particularly if you're traveling internationally. Give yourself enough time to get to where you need to go, get through those security lines. There's going to be enhanced security no matter where you're going this holiday weekend. So just pack your patience with you, always good advice, and then be vigilant at the airport. We can't say that enough. Be vigilant.
The other part of the data that you guys have put out this year that is surprising to me, and maybe you could add a little context, is that more Americans are renting cars for this Memorial Day. Why is that?
For various reasons, even though rental car rates are up a little bit, but I think it's a reflection more of the fact that more people are traveling than anything.
Yeah, and if Friday's the big pickup day for cars, maybe a good idea there would be try to pick it up on Thursday if you can, or maybe later in the day Friday, or you're sort of out of luck if you've got a rental pickup for the weekend?
You know, that's up to the individual and their rental times and that they've secured. But, you know, we always say that when it comes to traveling, if you can leave it off peak times to do so, and that may be the same with picking up your rental car as well.
Do you have a sense of where people are going for Memorial Day weekend, Beth?
Yeah, you know, we do. We're seeing a lot of people traveling abroad this year for Memorial Day and on into the summer. Certainly people are taking those great domestic vacations to Orlando, some places out west, Seattle, Las Vegas. But we're seeing a lot of people go to Europe. The euro is very weak against the American dollar right now. So places like Rome and London, Ireland, even Iceland are very, very popular right now.
Obviously, we've been talking about this weekend, specifically Memorial Day. But do you get a sense of whether this is going to be a busy summer altogether?
This is going to be a busy summer. Everything from our AAA travel agents to the research that we've done throughout the year this year so far indicates that this is going to be a very busy travel season, which is really good for the travel and tourism industry and really good for cities like Chicago.
All right, Beth. Thanks for being with us and have a safe summer.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Beth Mosher is the Director of Public Relations at the AAA, the American Automobile Association.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Sears Holdings Corporation has just reported earnings this morning, a beat on earnings and revenue by 90 cents on earnings, revenue a beat by $250 million. But the details show that Sears same-store sales declined nearly 13% in the last quarter. Sales declines came in all categories, even home appliances. At a business that Kmart and Sears once ruled, at Kmart, sales fell almost 11%, down for the 10th straight quarter. Sears obviously in a lot of financial trouble. On their stock shares this morning, SHLD is the ticker symbol. Sears is up this morning almost 7% thanks to that earnings and revenue miss. Now the latest on commodities and agriculture, and here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at the livestock and grain trade here in the Midwest, weather continues to be a factor. Wheat futures closed higher yesterday on light short covering. That happened one day after the nearby contract fell about 1%. Corn futures firmed while soybeans ended flat after a choppy session today. but there are still weather concerns bringing support into the grain market. Excessive moisture in the plains and Midwest raising concerns about yield prospects and grain quality for the maturing winter wheat crops. One trader said rains were active across much of the Midwest, plains, and Delta this past week. That continued to slow corn and soybean growth and maintained wetness concerns for both hard red winter wheat and soft winter wheat. And so at the end of the session yesterday, the nearby wheat contract up 2 cents, corn up a penny a bushel, and soybeans ended down half a cent a bushel. Turning to livestock trade, the cattle market in focus again yesterday, down, pulled down by technical selling and some lower preliminary cash prices. Yesterday's Fed Cattle Exchange sale brought an average top price of $132.54 a hundredweight, and that's down from last week's high. And, of course, the Memorial Day holiday shortened work week will reduce the number of animals needed by packers. Remember, markets close Monday. It's a four-day trading week next week. That's my report. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, May 25th. A couple of big economic reports today. The Labor Department reports on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also, Freddie Mac will report on this week's U.S. mortgage rates, average mortgage rates. The number of retailers reporting earnings today is a pretty long one, including Sears, which we just had, but Abercrombie and Fitch will report today. Best Buy is out. Costco is also reporting earnings. Signet Jewelers in there as well. Medtronic, Spam producer Hormel Foods also reporting earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, May 25th.